Don't hurt anybody. Don't steal anybody's shit. If you can, you can have just those two laws. And you can judge everything from that. People just want to be left alone. They want to be able to take care of their family, take care of their property, buy enough food, you know, take a vacation here and there and live their life. But they're not really allowed to. No, they've got to, at every turn, at everywhere they go and everything that they do, they have to pay. And it's kind of funny because when you talk to people and they talk about income tax, or they talk about 401ks, and you know, you put into it, you need to put into it and all, because it's tax free or tax deferred until you're 59, then you can start taking it out. But where did that 401k come from? Well, the government created these things to get the slaves to put money into them. And so these, like, 401s and all are bundled together, and they're put into investment companies who then invest them into, like, BlackRock and State Street, Vanguard. They invest them into ESG companies, and they take over companies, and they're pushing for stuff that are against the interest of the people of the 401s. So you don't even have any control over your 401. So they take your money and they use it against you and enrich themselves. Oh yeah, over a course of time and everything, you get to the point where, you know, you're ready to retire and all, and you've got a pretty good sized bundle of money. And for many, since the 1970s and all, when they invented these things, there'd been several generations of retirees who've benefited from these things, deferred taxes. You still have to pay tax on it, but what you're betting on is that you make less after 59 when you retire. You're going to make less than you did in your high earning days when you were putting into it. So you'll pay less tax. But you're still taxed. In the meantime, inflation has been eating. And so a hamburger that cost you 59 cents way back when you started is now $4. So in reality, you're getting less back than you put in, although the number of zeros, you may have more zeros than you did when you put in. So it's a fraud, it's a chicanery, and it's a way to keep you locked in to the system. So now we're seeing, you know, we saw all the bank bailouts in 2008 and everything. Everybody got upset. And all, that's what woke me up. What the hell happened? And started me down this journey. And now you see the banks getting in trouble again. We see a couple little bank failures here and there. We don't know what we don't know, what we don't see. You know, there's liable to be a lot of banks. But just like they did overseas, Cyprus and all, they've written in these bank bail-ins. In other words, when the bank gets in trouble and everything, and they're too big to fail and all this, they're going to take your money. Let's say, they, you know, anybody that's got over $25,000 in the bank, half of that is gone, and you now have $10,000 or $12,500 or whatever half of that is. And you're going to be happy, don't you know? So they've got that written in. And, you know, banks are interesting because when they make a loan, let's say you go in and you deposit $1,000. Well, the bank can turn around and lend out $9,000. The money's created out of thin air. $1 million, they can loan out $9 million. It's all a Ponzi scheme. Your dollar's worth less and less and less, and they trap you into it by this legal means, this way to save taxes, and then use the money against you. For climate change and ESGs and DEI. And then people say, you know, we elect the right people and the Constitution and all. We can change it. We can fix it. And I don't see where they get that. When you look at history, you know, they always say, this is the most important election of a lifetime. And shit gets worse anyway. If elections actually mattered, they'd be illegal. But they do matter. They do matter in one critical way. They keep you playing the game. They keep you suckered in. Which one do you want? Team red or team blue? You got to vote for one or the other. Which one do you like? You know, everybody knows politicians lie. They lie and lie and lie. One thing is, I ask people this all the time. How can one man represent 100,000? How can one man or woman represent one other person other than he, she, they, or them? What does it mean? What is this game, this thing we call politics? Is it just a game to keep you busy, to keep you tied up, to keep you thinking that you have any sort of power at all? Is it just a lie? We live on the plantation of Flavelandia. These John Birchers. They're a good bunch. I'm gonna tell you, I like them all. I like the Birchers. I really do. They're good, well-meaning people. But for, I don't know what it's been now, 60 years, they've been promoting the Constitution is the solution. First it was, you know, the commies are coming. But they've been promoting, you know, if we hire good people, if we get good people in there, we can turn this around and return to the Constitution. And often ask, which Constitution? What Constitution do you want to go back to? The original? Or the amended ones? Why? Oh, it's the best document ever created by man. I don't know if it is or not. It's some awful pretty words. But I think you guys have heard me talk about, I think it was all a design to provide central power to the government, begin with. You know, they held the Constitutional Convention in secret. Only certain people were even invited. Jefferson was over there in France. Thomas Paine said, oh, hell no. I smell a rat, y'all. There were many others who realized that this was a centralization of power. Jefferson kind of had to throw his hands up and say, oh, crap, this is a snowball headed to hell, and maybe I can do something to help and mitigate and protect a little bit. And so he and others promoted the Bill of Rights. You know, putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. There's never been a collective that provides individual rights. Individual rights don't come from a collective. And collectives will always, always, always squash individual rights. You know, this general welfare clause that they've got in the Constitution. It covers almost everything. You look at your local levels and when they propose ordinances and stuff and they get into the whereases is, you know, whereas is this, the people like to have swimming pools and movie stars, and whereas is this, whereas is this, whereas is this. One of the whereas is always the general welfare of the people, the overall welfare It's for the people. That's what they always claim. And then always in the bottom of the ordinances and all, they do a CYA thing. And they say, if any part of this ordinance is deemed to be unconstitutional, everything else in it, except for the unconstitutional part, stays. Now, of course, the only way that it's deemed unconstitutional is one of you slaves hires another slave that has a little shingle from the bar and goes in and challenges it, and the just us system that is government itself, the collective, the machine. And if the machine finally agrees that it's unconstitutional and it goes all the way to the seven robes who are separate, you know, the three different branches of government, they're the same tree. If they say it's unconstitutional, then finally that little piece of that little ordinance or whatever will be scrubbed. And everything else would be there. So you have to have millions and millions and millions of dollars to challenge all this shit. And the just us system, which is run by the government, paid by the government, and all that. There is no real freedom. Not with the state, not with the collective. You still believe the fairy tale. I did. I did for a lot of years. 47 years, as a matter of fact. Oh, I sang the songs and did the pledge. And I did it all. Boy, I tell you what, I used to love to see the fighter aircraft flying, you know. So that's the sound of freedom. I still call it that. Ah, look, there's some freedom flying over. I remember those days. Yeah, now it's with sarcasm when I say, there goes some freedom flying over. The lie. We're not free. They're getting ready to take it all, boys and girls. It's going to be the great taking. The great reset. When the slaves, when the banks fail, hyperinflation sets in, and the great cull begins. I need about half of the United States, about half the population to get the hell out of here. I'll just get rid of about half of them. Maybe a little bit more than that. We don't need that many anymore. We don't need that many mules out in the field. We'll take it all. We'll let the rest, we'll control what they, how much they get, how much they can spend, when they can spend it, what they can spend it on it. And we'll let them rent everything. We can get the most out of their labor. Steal most of their labor. Just leave them just enough to keep them alive. It's getting to the point they won't give a shit if you think you're free or not. They think they're big enough now and smart enough now to eliminate most of the people. They don't need them as much. Now we've got computers. We've got AI. We're getting ready to transhuman. We're gonna go from humans to machines, don't you know? What the hell, Ferrari dude, he says, humans are hackable now. Gotta get you injected with all this stuff, you know. Who knows? Perhaps they can change your code to be whatever they want, to do whatever they want. Kind of like what Josephine and I were talking about. I think we're getting a little too big for our britches. I think they think they're too smart. They think that they know more than they know. But they're messing with something that they do not understand. And they're gonna crash and burn. Unfortunately, most of us are going to be stuck in the as collateral damage in this. As these people that want to become their own gods destroy themselves. Perhaps most of humanity with it. They play this game of this collective. Has a monopoly on force and gets to, they hire the best of the best and give them grants and everything to study all these things and make it how do you become a god? Well, you got to know everything about everything. You got to be able to control everything. You have to be able to create. These fools can't create anything but trouble. If we could just go back to the basics, go back to don't hurt anybody. Don't steal anybody's shit. If you can, have just those two laws, and you can judge everything from there. You don't need a collective to do it. You don't need a monopoly on violence. And you don't need this thing called government. You don't need something that attracts evil. Because power attracts evil. And you can see it in all the levels of government. The bigger the government, the bigger the evil. The pile of shit gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and they just work their way to the top. I think what we have to do is reject the idea that a group of individuals can get together and they can vote one of their own into place to represent them, to rule over them with a monopoly on violence, and that you'll be free. Just doesn't happen that way. In the state, and the state. To do that, it just takes one thing. Open your mind. Like I've said many times, the war is won 6 inches at a time, and it's the 6 inches in between your ears where it's being waged. Well, that's it for today. RLM listeners, I appreciate you listening. Are you Liberty Report listeners on YouTube and Rumble? We appreciate you too. Free your mind and free yourself. Till next time, you know it. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?